On Friday's Page One, Europe's central bank is resisting pressure to print money and ease the debt crisis. Here in New York, closed doors at public courts. Family courts are supposed to be open to the public, but here in New York City, they're not always easy to get into. And First Lady Michelle Obama has a new mission. She's energizing her husband's campaign. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the financial stability of Europe has come down to one institution, the European Central Bank. It's under pressure to print money and rescue the euro. So far, it's resisted doing that. Spanish Prime Minister José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero became the latest to demand that the bank find a solution to the euro crisis. This as the market sagged again, driving up the interest Spain had to pay on 10-year bonds to nearly 7%. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials lost 134 points, closing at 11,770.73. Here in New York, closed doors at public courts. Family courts in New York State were ordered open to the public in 1997, but Times reporter William Glaberson found the open courts rule is being disregarded here in New York City. He found some courtrooms were locked. Some had signs that said stop or do not enter. Sometimes court officers stopped him. The administrative judge of the New York City Family Court said she's troubled to hear about the courts that weren't open. She says she's planning a review. A U.S. group offered to help Libyan leader Muammar al-Qaddafi for $10 million. Confidential documents describing the proposed deal have surfaced on the Internet. The deal also involved freeing Libyan assets and finding a sanctuary for Qaddafi and his relatives. Behind the deal were a Washington terrorism expert, a veteran CIA officer, and a Republican operative. Friday's Times says they didn't get the Treasury Department license they would have needed to accept payment from Libya. First Lady Michelle Obama has become an upbeat ambassador for a struggling administration. She avoids mentioning re-election at White House events to keep from sounding overtly political, but she's been promoting Mr. Obama's stalled jobs bill, along with new initiatives for veterans. She's also been working to energize the fundraisers and volunteers on the campaign staff. A new Mormon ad campaign is aimed at improving perceptions about what Mormonism is. Times reporter Laurie Goodstein says the multi-million dollar campaign features the personal stories of Mormons who defy stereotyping. The campaign's origins date back to 2009, when top Mormon leaders hired two big-name advertising agencies. The assignment was to find out what Americans think of the Mormon Church. Among the words that came up in focus groups, secretive, sexist, pushy, and anti-gay. It's been 8 months since the nuclear meltdown at the Fukushima Daiichi plant in Japan. Some officials hoped it would be a catalyst for fundamental change. That hasn't happened, and Times reporter Norimitsu Onishi says it's difficult to overstate the influence of the company that owns the plant. He says it rivals the defense industry in this country when it comes to grassroots connections. Reformers lost an important ally in August when Prime Minister Naoto Kan was eased out with the help of a powerful industry lobby. Inside Friday's Times, Syrian army deserters went on the attack for the second day in a row. They targeted the youth offices of President Bashar al-Assad's ruling party. That came 24 hours after they fired rocket-propelled grenades at a military intelligence base. The attacks, along with growing international pressure, prompted Syria's closest ally, Russia, to say Syria is moving closer to civil war. In Egypt, a blogger apparently thought she was striking a blow for sexual equality and freedom of expression. She posted nude photographs of herself on the Internet. Instead, she set off a wave of outrage. That's fueling a conservative Islamist backlash, and many liberals fear that will undermine their chances in next week's parliamentary election. Kuwait tightened security after a surprise protest in its parliament. Kuwait's emir said his oil-rich country would not tolerate what he called pre-planned sabotage. So far, Kuwait has dodged the so-called Arab Spring upheavals, but late Wednesday night, dozens of protesters, including some lawmakers, muscled their way into the parliament building to demand the prime minister's resignation. The head of the International Atomic Energy Agency wants to send a high-level mission to Iran. Yukiya Amano wants to follow up on his agency's report that Iran is secretly working on a nuclear weapon. The agency's board of governors is meeting in Vienna to draft a resolution reprimanding Iran, but the agency has to avoid language that would alienate China and Russia, which have frequently differed with the West on Iran. Here in New York and in other cities, thousands of protesters snarled traffic and clashed with police in a show of support for Occupy Wall Street. The demonstrators were marking the movement's two-month anniversary. At least 175 were arrested, including more than 20 here in New York who ignored orders to vacate local streets. But the protesters failed in their attempt to shut down the New York Stock Exchange. In Friday's Business Day, a twist in the investigation of the Japanese camera maker Olympus. Officials now say $4.9 billion is missing. They're looking into allegations that some of the money went to organized crime. A memo prepared by investigators says Olympus officials are trying to determine whether the company worked with crime syndicates to obscure billions in investment losses. Also at issue is how much Olympus might have paid the syndicates to help. Friday's Business Day has a follow-up on the investigation at MF Global. That's the commodities and derivatives brokerage run by former New Jersey Governor John Corzine that filed for bankruptcy last month. People who've been briefed on the investigation say the firm improperly diverted customers' cash for its own use in the days before it shut down. Regulators believe that may help explain why $600 million in customer money is still missing. That's our preview of Friday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.